If you open up your hymnals right to the very front, just inside the front series, just tells you some things about the Apostles' Creed. But down the bottom there, it has kind of a list of the topics. And you can see the first two topics there. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You can see the second topic. We've got a fair bit of stuff there. We are now on week three, right? And so the topic is very simply, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to say when topics were laid out and I was told I'm preaching on this one, I felt a little ripped off, right? Because while you'd think it's only a few words, it's going to be a much easier topic to kind of talk about. Well, first of all, the creed doesn't give us much here to kind of unpack other than we believe in the Holy Spirit. And then, so the next step, of course, probably the first step in praying sermon is we go to the Bible and we look at what the Bible says on the Holy Spirit. And one of the difficult things with the topic of the Holy Spirit is that while the Holy Spirit is mentioned in almost every book of the Bible, the purpose of the authors are very rarely telling us about the Holy Spirit and more just telling us what the Holy Spirit is doing. So throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit is popping up here and there and everywhere doing things, empowering people to do great things. But it's not telling us a whole lot about the Holy Spirit other than that he can do these things. And so it becomes a difficult topic to talk about. And in the New Testament, we see the Holy Spirit at work even more in different ways. But once again, the purpose of the authors is mostly telling us about the Holy Spirit. And so it becomes hard to define. And so when we make a statement like, I believe in the Holy Spirit, there's a lot to cover there throughout the Bible to kind of unpack these things. And so what we're going to do tonight is, as we talk through this topic, there's going to be a number of passages that we're going to talk about. And so I'll get a lot of them to come up on the screen as we kind of work through them. And some of them I'm going to invite you to turn with me to as we look at the Bible together. There was a preacher, a famous preacher, A.W. Tozer, who died in the 60s, so lived quite a long time ago. And I was listening to one of his sermons on the Holy Spirit as I was preparing. And he says one of the travesties of some churches is that they have neglected the deity of Jesus, or they've rejected the deity of Jesus. They've said it's not important whether Jesus is God or not, or even gone to the point of saying Jesus isn't God. But he talks about churches that he's involved in, and he says one of the greatest dangers we face is that we not neglect the deity of Jesus, because that seems to be something that's really key in our teaching, Jesus is God. But the danger, he says, is that we forget or we neglect that the Holy Spirit is God. In fact, in a moment of passion, he says that he was preaching to a group and he said, there's some churches so completely out of the hands of God that if the Holy Spirit withdrew from their church, they wouldn't find out about it for 3 months. Which is a pretty scary thought, that there could be a group of people gathering in the name of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and not be living and acting as though the Holy Spirit is part of them. So even more scary then is the question, is that us? Could we be a community that, while we're seeking to honour and glorify God, can reject or forget that the Holy Spirit is God? And so we want to start with that. That's the first thing we want to look at as we think about the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is God, right? You've probably heard it talked in terms of the Trinity, that God is three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But God is also one. It's one of those really difficult things to talk about because there's really nothing we can compare it to in our world. It's something that's so big and ununderstandable about God. We can grasp at the concepts, but it's really hard for us to understand this idea of something that is three but is also one. Over years of doing youth group talks and listening to others do talks, I've heard many different examples of how people would try to explain this. But really, any explanation of it comes short of really helping us understand what this is about. Maybe you've heard the example of an apple, right? An apple has three different parts to it. There's a skin, there's the flesh inside, and there's an apple core. And each part is part of the one apple. And that does help us understand a little bit of the idea of the Trinity, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all parts. But with an apple, we can cut it up and we can separate those parts and make them three separate parts, because they're really just parts, right? They're not one whole. They can be cut up. But that's not true with God. God is separate, but God is also inseparable. Maybe you've heard the example of water, that water can be in three different states. It can be in liquid form, water, it can be solid as ice, or it can be in a gas form as steam. And so we see one kind of thing, water, in three different states. And once again, it can help us understand a little bit of what this is, the Trinity and God. Because certainly we see God in different ways, doing different things. And we see Jesus certainly in a kind of physical form. But that still doesn't really explain it to us, because water can only be one state at any one time. If God was like that, he'd be suddenly he's God, and now when he was Jesus, he was no longer God. He was only Jesus, and then he's the Holy Spirit. Right? It's not like that. God is all three, but he's also one. Or maybe you've heard the example of relationship, as in a father-son kind of relationship, that my father, he's my father, he's also his father's son, and he's also the husband to my mother, right? Three different roles, but one person. And once again, that helps us understand a little bit about God, because we do see the different persons of God in different roles, functioning in different ways. But still, it doesn't fully explain it, because that's just one person with three different relationships. But with God, we don't see it just as three different relationships, but actually three separate. God is one, but God is also three. God is separate and God is inseparable. God is independent and also interdependent. And what we want to remember tonight is that the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is God. Made one person of the Trinity and is also God. There's a number of places we see that. So I'm going to ask you first, we're going to come back to John 16, so you might want to keep a finger in there, but we're going to go right to the start to Genesis 1. It's a verse that many of us know fairly well, Genesis 1, verse 1. And it says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And then it says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The first place we want to think about when thinking about the fact that the Holy Spirit is God is that the Holy Spirit was there in the beginning, like God was, because the Holy Spirit is God. What we see described here in Genesis 1 is a blank canvas. There's some words in there that can be a little bit distracting to us, like hovering over the waters or the surface of the deep. Kind of makes us think maybe creation has already started or something's going on there. But what really we see is this is a blank canvas. This is, in the beginning, it's God and nothing but God. And the Holy Spirit is there in the beginning. He's with God, he's in the beginning like God, because he is God. And we see not only is the Holy Spirit there in the beginning, but he'll be there in the end. An example of that in the Bible is John 14, only a little bit before the chapter we read. Verse 16, Jesus is telling his disciples, he says, I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor, talking about the Holy Spirit, uses the word counselor, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is going to be there forever. Like God, because he is God. We see in the Bible that The Holy Spirit has attributes that only God has. For example, he's all-powerful. We know that because we see him at work in creation. An example of that is in the book of Job, Job 33. He says, "The Spirit of God has made me." The Holy Spirit is involved in creation. He has creative power, God, power that only God has, because he's like God, because he is God. We see that the Holy Spirit is everywhere. We see an example of this when David is talking in Psalm 139. He asks this question. He says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" And he gives his answer like this. He says, "If I go up to the heavens, you are there. And if I make my bed in the depths, you are there." His answer is, it doesn't matter where I go. It doesn't matter how high I go. It doesn't matter how deep I go. I cannot escape from God's spirit because God's spirit is everywhere. Like God, because he is God. Like God, we see God's spirit is all-knowing. Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 2. He uses this example. He says, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him?" And then he applies that example to God. And he says, in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So we see the Holy Spirit knows God's thoughts. And we know that God knows everything. And so if the Holy Spirit knows even God's thoughts, then the Spirit knows everything, like God, because he is God. Right? You're getting the point? The Holy Spirit is like God because he is God. But Tozer's point when he talks about the Holy Spirit in his sermon is not that we deny the Holy Spirit is God. He's not saying the danger is saying the Holy Spirit isn't God. He's saying that the danger that he sees is not acknowledging that the Holy Spirit is God and not making him king of our lives. Not recognizing the work of the Holy Spirit. Not expecting transformation. Not expecting the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives, not looking for it. It can be difficult when we talk about that idea of having the Holy Spirit as Lord in our lives or King of our lives. I think something that's difficult is that it's a little bit intangible. If I talk about Jesus or God the Father as King of your life, Lord of your life, there's kind of tangible things we can grasp there. If you're to make Jesus king of your life, if you think in those terms and think about that, there's certain things that kind of stand out. For example, commandments, things Jesus told us we should do. If you're going to make him king, you're going to do those things that he says to do. But it becomes a little bit more difficult with the Holy Spirit. We don't see those kinds of things in the Bible. It seems like the Holy Spirit is more something to be explored through life. I think a little bit about in terms of kind of the difference between men and women. I know it's generalization, right? But if a guy is climbing a mountain, what's the goal? What's it all about? It's about the top, right? It's about the achievement. For most guys, things are about kind of getting there, saying you did it, having the going through the process in getting there and achieving something. For most guys, things are about the destination. And for a lot of girls, it's a lot more about the journey, right? It's more about the views you see along the way. I remember climbing a mountain once when I was much younger. It's actually no longer about getting to the top for me because I just know I'm not going to get there. So there comes a point in your life you enjoy the views because that's all you've got. I climbed this mountain when I was younger. It's the tallest mountain in Papua New Guinea. And we set out quite early, but it was just like it was 6 hours to base camp where we stayed the night and then I think 6 hours to the top. It was quite steep. And we set out quite early. And I remember a lot of rock face. I remember a lot of steep climbs. I remember being on hands and knees, kind of climbing up these hills. And it wasn't really till we got to the top and turned around and headed back down afterwards that I think I really started to absorb some of that, the views that were there. And coming down, it just didn't seem as steep either. There was something about rock faces that I remember. It just, that process was all I was focused on. When we think about the difference between Jesus and the Holy Spirit, there seems to be something tangible about Jesus. I mean, obviously, there's the fact that God became a man, and that's something tangible for us. But even beyond that, in life, there's things we can obey, there's teachings that we have of Jesus that we can think about. But with the Holy Spirit, it seems more about a journey, something to be interacted with. I read a guy called Edward Brown who described the Holy Spirit like the universe. He says it's something that we'll never fully comprehend in this life. But the vastness of it intrigues us and invites exploration. And we can marvel at how grand it is. There's something similar in that as we look at the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's work in the lives of believers. It's hard to understand, but the Holy Spirit is an incredible gift to us from God. Open back up to John 16:6. Jesus is there with his disciples, and you have to remember that this is a group of guys that he's been traveling around with, and he's been saying some pretty radical things to them. He's been telling them about how the world as they know it is going to change, how the promised one is finally here. He's been talking about this kingdom that he's going to set up, a kingdom that's going to last forever. They're pretty excited, and they've seen some incredible things. This guy is not just all talk, right? He's put some real action behind his talk, some crazy great miracles. But he keeps talking to them about dying. Constantly, it seems like the disciples are wrestling with this fact that once again, Jesus is going to tell them, yeah, it's good, but I'm going to die. And they don't really get it. And this is one of those times that Jesus is explaining it to them. And as you would expect, if you were traveling around with someone and you had great hopes for what was going to happen and they were going to be a great leader, and then they told you they're going to die in only a few short days, you start, you know, you're going to be grieved by that. And that's what we see that they are. Jesus says in verse 6, because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. Right? It's a bit of a no-brainer. He just said he's going to die, and they're upset about that. And then he says, but I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, like I said before, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I think as we think, as Christians, think about how great it would be to be there with Jesus, standing before him. I mean, we think about Jesus as someone who brought us salvation, right? Who loved us so much that he was willing to go through great suffering for us. And so it's easy to think about Jesus with great love and just think, wouldn't it be great to just be there, standing with Jesus? In fact, if I said to you that tonight you were going to meet Jesus face to face in person, there's things you can think about with that. If you're a follower of Jesus, I'm sure that there's an idea there that brings great joy, the idea of looking at your Savior face to face. But Jesus is saying it's good for them for him to go. Here's the disciples, they're there with him face to face. And he's saying it's good for you that I go, because I'm going to send this other one back. I'm going to send God the Holy Spirit back to you. And I'm not just going to be with you anymore. I'm going to be in you, changing you. from the inside out. This is what Jesus says to his disciples. It's something that we see in the Bible is promised to all believers. Jesus says in John chapter 7, a few chapters earlier, he's saying, whoever believes in me, if he comes to you, Jesus says, well, you wouldn't give him a scorpion, would you? And then in Luke 11, verse 13, it says this, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus says, if you come hungry before God, you want Jesus in your life and you want to live for him, and you put your faith in him, and he's going to give you his Holy Spirit, this great gift that has been promised. An incredible gift. Why is it such an incredible gift? Because God's Holy Spirit is transforming us to be more like Jesus. Transforming us more to be like we were created to be. More to live for the purpose God has given us, God created us for. And so we see the Holy Spirit at work in transformation. And throughout the New Testament, we see a number of different ways that we see the Holy Spirit is working in transformation. A couple of those are in John 16 there. Look in verse 8. It says, when he, talking about the Spirit, when the Spirit comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Jesus is saying, not only is the Spirit at work transforming you after you've put your faith in Jesus, but the Spirit is at work through people's feelings of guilt, reminding them of sin, reminding people of good and evil, calling people to turn to God. Now, we know that people ignore that. In fact, we get really good at ignoring our guilt. How do you get good at ignoring your guilt? Well, it takes practice, right? When you do something that you shouldn't do, you feel guilty about it. But if you go on doing it after a little while, I mean, we've all had this experience, right? That you start to push that guilt down and it becomes less of a thing. So we know that people can reject their guilt, but we see that the Holy Spirit is at work reminding people through their guilt, calling them to God. But for a Christian, it's more than that. It's transforming. For someone who puts their faith in Jesus, Jesus says his Holy Spirit is in them, transforming them. One of the ways he does that is guides us in truth. Right, verse 13, but when he, the Holy Spirit of the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. It's put again to, Jesus says it earlier, in two chapters earlier in 14, it says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. So the Holy Spirit is guiding us and teaching us and reminding us of what God has, what Jesus has said. We see the Holy Spirit is at work transforming us to become more like Jesus. For example, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, like in Galatians 5. It compares it to the fruit of the sinful nature. So the sinful nature, it says in 5:19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit is at work in followers of Jesus, transforming us to be more like him as we develop this fruit, teaching and reminding us of things. We see the Spirit is at work in unity, and we're going to look at this more as we look at the topic of the communion of the saints. But Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We see other examples in the Bible of the Holy Spirit giving people gifts. We see a whole different ways. We see the Holy Spirit working in people's lives in natural gifts, and we see much more supernatural gifts in the New Testament, about how the Holy Spirit is using people to glorify God. We see different examples of the Holy Spirit guiding people. We see examples of visions. We look at stories like Philip, where it says the Spirit of God told him to go and stand over here. We don't really know what that means or how the Spirit told him, but we see the Spirit at work through the New Testament guiding people. But the work of the Holy Spirit for us is a work of transformation. And that's something that takes time. If you want to know God's voice in guidance, in guiding you, then we need to explore him, understand him better, read his word, get to know him, interact with him, speak to him. And as we do that, and as the Holy Spirit works in our lives, we will come to know God more and more and be transformed more like his, and be able to hear God's voice better in our lives. It is important that we remember the deity of the Holy Spirit. It is important because that is something we believe in these three gods. It's not just that we believe in this God, this powerful creator that's kind of somewhere up there. In fact, most of the world's kind of belief is something around that, in this God that's up there. It's not even just that we believe in this God that came and saved us in the form of Jesus. In fact, there's a good chunk of the world that kind of has this idea that they understand God is good and saves them. We actually believe in more than that. We believe in a God that interacts with us and is changing us to be more like him. And so it's important that we don't forget that. We need to seek that. We need to seek God at work in our lives. We need to seek transformation. We need to seek guidance. We need to ask God to guide us. We need to look for his guidance in our lives. The Holy Spirit is an incredible gift that God has given us. God who chooses to interact with us and live in us and change us from the inside out. We want to be asking him to do that. We want to be embracing that in our lives. We want to be living with him. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that can live in us and work through us and change us to be more like you. We want to remember that as we seek to live for you, as we embrace change and as we look for your guidance in our lives, we want to remember that. Lord, we pray that you will change us. In your name, amen.